Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. It is Lisa here, and today I have a graduate from the Menstrual Coach Academy in 2026 with me. So we have Lily Lavai with me today. You're very welcome, Lily. Lily is from Hungary, currently based in Hungary, and she was a student on the Menstrual Coach Academy from 2025 to 2026, and we just finished up our program. So I'm very excited to have you here today, Lily. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. So yeah, maybe let's start with a little introduction. I'd love for the listeners to hear a little bit about who you are, you know, what you do for work, and then maybe how you came across the program.
Yeah, it's always a hard question to answer because I think I had so many careers that it's just so hard to pick one. But right now I work as a web designer, and I help mostly women to build brands and websites and become visible online. And my work is also as a business coach is related to that area. So I work with them. Yeah.
Amazing.
Through their journey.
Amazing. So you work, and I love that about your work. You're working with a lot of women, creative women, professionals, people maybe at different stages in starting their businesses. And I'm sure you're doing web design, but you're also doing a lot more, like you're listening to them, you're helping them with their strategy, their business. I know we've talked about sales and marketing as well in the course. So we've had some really interesting conversations together. And the reason I want to shine a light on that is just to really highlight, I guess, the diversity in the Menstrual Coach Academy, and the, you know, everyone's coming from a different background. So tell us a bit about how did you come across this work, and why did you decide to train in this area, Lily?
So I think the story really starts when I first started to be more familiar with my own cycle. And that was like, I'm 38 right now, and that was around when I was 30. And I read a book, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, if you know that one.
Oh, is that Christiane Northrup?
Yes, I believe that it's her book, yeah. And then from then on, I was more and more aware of my cyclical patterns each month. And this discovery also stems from me started to journal quite early on, actually, but in my late 20s, I journaled every day. Mm-hmm. And then this cyclical pattern of, okay, something's happening at the same time each month, like it's mostly was PMS related problems or symptoms and all this stuff, became really clear to me that, okay, there's something going on here. And I didn't know anything about my own menstrual cycle, basically, at that point. So it was all from my own discoveries. And then that book really shone a light on, like, what's happening and, you know, what's the biology behind the cycle and what is the cycle. So it was really fascinating to finally, at the age of 30, to learn about all this. And then after many years passed, and I guess all these PMS-related symptoms became a bit worse and worse. And then I was like, well, it could be even more than PMS probably, but I had no idea. It was all in my head still. So I had no language to understand these things. And then I think I discovered blog articles probably at that time, that was a long time ago. So unfortunately, I don't know exactly when, but many years ago already. And then I signed up to your newsletter, and then I remember reading your newsletter for years and years. Mm. And it was really, really fascinating to me how you approached your own journey with endometriosis. And like, it was really inspiring to me. Like, it seemed like a very different approach, and how you also talked about your challenges with the medical system and how you handle those. That really struck a chord with me. I remember that.
Okay.
And then my own journey continues. So it's like years and years that we talk about. And 4 years ago, I got a divorce. And that was a really big turning point in my life. And that's actually after that, really quickly after we separated, my PMDD symptoms kicked in full on. So it's now I have so much clarity about this, like how this happened and what started it really, what was the trauma behind that really started the PMDD symptoms.
Yeah.
And then for years, I was just like trying to survive and trying to understand what was going on. No language about PMDD. So it's just like what we know about it now was not even known, I think, like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's still very, very new for many people. And actually, like people in Hungary, it's still very much unknown what PMDD is.
Yeah.
And then it really kickstarted also my, I think my desire to learn more about my own body, my menstrual cycle, to heal myself, to support myself with pre-MDD episodes, and then also to support others going through this. And that's when I started thinking about going to the professional path.
Okay.
Long story.
No, it's great. It's really great to hear. It's actually the first time I'm hearing the full story, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Well, like it's good. It's very insightful. Would it be okay for you to share a little bit about how PMDD presented for you? Like what, when you, you experienced it, like what was it like for you?
It was really, really shocking for me the first time I really experienced PMDD and like how clear it was for me that this is different from anything that I ever experienced before. I think the main part was the suicidal thoughts that came into the picture that were not present before, ever before. And that just like, you know, going through this, that even thinking about this, or that you never thought about, like, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. I would rather just not be here.
Yeah.
That was really, really shocking and like so painful that I feel so unlovable for myself that I don't even want to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. That must have been very scary, was it, Lily? Especially if
it
you.
Was.
Yeah.
It was. Also, I was very alone in that time of my life. So I lived abroad. I lived abroad for 10 years prior to moving back to Hungary 3 years ago, actually, more than 3 years ago. And there was no one to turn to. So it was just like, okay, I hope it will pass somehow. Like, and at the same time, I had to handle all the other things that came with the divorce. In a new country, basically new country. I was in Portugal. I've been living there for 2 years at the time. So it was during COVID also. So really, really challenging times in general. And then on top of that, the PMDD. So it was a lot.
A lot. Yeah, yeah, a lot. Very scary, a lot. I'm hearing a lot of like isolation, feeling very alone. And then, like you said, no understanding of like the language, and like you have the clarity now when you're speaking about the past, but when you're in, like when you were in it, it must have been very confusing and disorienting. And you know, so like, what did you do? Did you go down the medical route? Did you like, what was kind of, what did you think was the problem?
So I actually started therapy around the same time when I had my first PMDD episode, for different reasons. And unfortunately, my therapist at the time had no idea about PMDD or Oh yeah, it's a whole another topic. I think that's really important to discuss, because then after I went to another therapist a few years later, and she actually thought that this is that I am bipolar. So she also had no idea what PMDD was. At the time, I had more clarity about PMDD, and I shared that with her, but it was like somehow not coming through for her, I guess. So I really didn't receive the right support for many, many years for this, or the understanding that I,
That you needed
the
to,
validation
you needed
rather.
validation. And did you kind of like, you were tracking at that time, so did you know that it was like a premenstrual thing, like in the luteal phase more, mostly?
Very blurry in the beginning,
Okay.
because there were so many other things going on at the same time. I wasn't tracking that precisely as I did before. So I wasn't really paying that much attention, unfortunately. But it was really obvious that there are, unfortunately for me, around 2 weeks out of the cycle. So it's a lot. So it kicks
Gosh.
in right after ovulation. But there was a lot of relief after the bleed started. So I had really big ups and downs. So interesting to look back, because I also had one of the best times in my life, like so elevated and so uplifted. And I'm actually looking forward to this new life, or, really enjoying many, many moments. And then, like, this downfall every month. It was really, really challenging to navigate and very isolated, as you said.
Very isolating and mental and emotional, and then the confusion. And then you're kind of like, that's what happens, isn't it? And we know that now, like when we go through the cycle and then you get the up and you're like, oh, it's fine, I'm fine now.
Yeah,
And you kind of
exactly.
forget like there's an issue there, and then it we come down, right? So okay. And then you went to therapy, different ther it sounds like different therapists, but then it was helpful, but not to the depth that you really needed, and you weren't really getting the validation that you needed, it sounds
Not
like.
in this topic.
Not this topic, yeah,
Not
okay,
this
yeah.
topic.
With it, in other areas, yes, but not with
In
this.
other areas, I think it was very useful, and somehow that obviously affected this topic too. Yeah, because everything is really connected, but I never got the validation until I went to psychiatrist. And because I really wanted to get officially diagnosed with PMDD, I didn't really see any other way to prove it to people that I'm not completely crazy. So even I had a relationship after my divorce, and I think I also wanted to prove it to him that this is a medical thing, like this is actually happening to me. And obviously, it was really very much affected our relationship and my daily life. And yeah, I got diagnosed eventually, but also it was not a good experience for me at all. So generally, I don't have a good experience with the medical system, like especially in Hungary, but I guess not even in other countries so much, and especially when it's related to mental health. So
Mental health and women's mental health, like the hormones and the intersection of hormones and our mental health. Yeah, totally. I totally get that. Like, no one, this is the thing when you start tracking your cycle and learning about menstrual cycle awareness, etc., and you open up that world, you start, you become the person who's teaching your therapist and your doctor about these things. You know, that's what happened to me. So it sounds like you're kind of advancing past their own training, because they just, the thing is, they just didn't have it in their training, all this stuff, right? So you were figuring it out alone. Okay. So tell us then what happened then. So you got your diagnosis from the psychiatrist, which was a difficult experience, but I imagine validating. You're still tracking your cycle, you're kind of reading books and things, and then what happened?
I actually received antidepressants to take. And that was another very scary experience. So I'm not anti-medication at all. But the antidepressants accelerated my suicidal thoughts. So that was also a very stressful period in my life, like work-wise. So unfortunately, probably was not the right time to start taking any kind of meditation. But again, I think that was not up to me, or that shouldn't have been up to me to evaluate, when to start medication or not. So that's another disappointing thing about that encounter with the doctor. And then I asked to stop the medication. So I wasn't really on it for a long period of time, few months, and it wasn't working for me. But I think it could for some people. So I would not say not to try to anyone because it might work. And I think at this point, I feel like anything that could work potentially, or anything that could alleviate that suffering, is a good thing.
Yeah, let's try it all. Yeah, right. I'm the same. I'm in the same mindset as you, Lily, to just be open-minded. And because at the end of the day, it's about our quality of life, and we don't have the answer right there, so we have to try things, and figure it out and get the help where we can. So I love that you said that anyway. Sorry to interrupt, but
Yeah, no, I thank you for saying that. I agree. It's because it happens possibly 2 weeks out of 4 weeks. It's half of your life, then do whatever you can to make it more bearable,
And
or
you're also like you're trying to run a business as well, right? You're self-employed. Yeah,
right.
there's a lot going on. Okay,
There's a lot. There was a lot going on. Exactly. So after that, a lot of things happened. That relationship ended for me. And I think that was actually a really good thing, because then again, I had some time alone to regulate myself alone, which is, I think, the easiest. So at least for me, it was really interesting to experience that I can be the number one priority in my own life for the first time. I think it was a really beautiful experience, and everyone should experience that. Very important.
Beautiful.
So,
I'm just going to repeat that, that how Lily is really highlighting like how important it is to have periods in your life where you are the number one and you're looking after yourself and you're regulating yourself and learning how to really mind yourself. It sounds like you had that time to do that. Beautiful.
And it was a better period for sure. So it was not all months or not all cycles were really bad, but many of them really were. It really, what I started to notice is the amount of stress I'm experiencing equals to the amount of, or like how much the PMDD is bad. How bad is it each month? I think it was very much correlated. And now I'm trying to be very mindful of that. Of course, you do what you can. So it's being self-employed is stressful, and also being an employee is stress can be very stressful. So yeah, it's just life.
But then there's a difference between healthy stress and unnecessary stress, which we're gonna, I imagine, get like, and we talk about that in the program, right? Like the suppressed emotions, the relationships, our the voice in their head, how we manage our menstrual cycle and the seasons and all that, right? So, yeah, it's not like I, because you're kind of saying like there's, life and jobs and work and travel and things we're doing, and that's kind of like normal stress, but then there's other stress that we can. We don't need.
We don't need exactly. And when I think about that, I also think about all the trauma that I healed through this journey, and just being aware of my cycle, because each month I'm presented or I have to face the trauma again. It's a recurring theme that the rage, the anger comes back. And it's really, really present. So there's nothing else to do than to really look at it, because it's not gonna get better if I don't look at it. So just allowing myself to go through the pain of looking at it, or feeling it again, or even just like letting it go, or letting it wash over me, I think that was a really big part of the whole healing process and still is. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing for me was when healing PMDD is realizing that that these are recurring things that I'm facing every month. And then, okay, I have to look at it. I have to go through it. So, yeah.
Oh my God, Lily, that's so powerful. So just for context, what you're saying is after you kind of went and got help and then you started connecting with your cycle, now you're in a place where you're realizing, oh, like a lot of this is rooted in your case, at least in trauma and like maybe unprocessed emotions that you didn't have the safety or the capacity to look at before, right? Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And now you're able to, it sounds like you have a lot of, like, there's a lot of courage, there's a lot of willingness, there's a lot of honesty and vulnerability, but all, like, as in you're looking at the stuff that was kind of buried, but at the same time, you're also doing it at your own pace. It sounds like there's a gentleness in there, is what I'm picking up.
Yes, I think I worked on it a lot to be more gentle with myself. So I remember even in the beginning, my experiences was with the divorce that people were asking me, you know, like kind of, are you over this or is it over for you? Or, you
like
know,
the hurt or the divorce itself?
Have you moved on?
Okay, emotionally, yeah.
Emotionally and also in life, like, you know, like, are you doing new things or whatever? And I was very, maybe 6 months after the divorce, and this is a 10-year relationship that we are talking about. So no, it's not over, but it really pushed me to think that it should be over or I should be over it. I shouldn't be still processing these emotions in my own way, in my own rhythm. And for a really long while, actually, this was my narrative for myself that, oh, it should have been over by now. And when that changed, when I wasn't looking to, okay, giving myself even a deadline, like, okay, a year has passed, I'm better now or whatever. This is not how it works. And once I let go of this idea, then it was already much easier to process everything because I was like, okay, maybe one more step this month or whatever, maybe a step back. That's also okay.
Oh my God, I got shivers listening to that. There's so much like letting go of control and trusting. And it's like, I have this image of you stepping out of your system and observing your system do its thing as opposed to be in control of it.
It's almost like that. I do meditate a lot too. So
yeah, well, obviously you're doing loads of things that are really good for you,
really
right?
The
But what
experience.
I mean the timeline is what you're not
right.
Not doing anything. You're like you're very in your self-care, but you've like let go of the pressure on yourself.
I'm really trying. Like it's
yeah,
not
it's not easy.
Perfect all the time, but yeah. Trying to be kinder to myself.
And I love that you said like, yeah, like it's 10-year relationship and you were married and then you got divorced and you know, that I'm sure wasn't easy at all. And then you have people asking you like, oh, are you over this now? And there's that cultural sort of message of like, when is Lily going to be better?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, probably a different topic, but it's really hard for people to relate to someone who's divorcing.
Yeah.
Because, and I see this for other people too, that they see a person in a completely different state than what they're used to. So it's new. It's something that they cannot handle. They don't know what to ask. They don't know how to help or have more empathy toward my family right now. Because they couldn't help me. They just didn't know how. It's really, really sad to go through this alone or with the friends of help who maybe got divorced. Fortunately, I have a few friends who went through this. So
okay.
I got that kind of understanding from them,
Mm.
but not from most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a really interesting point, Lily, because, like, you know, in our society, we celebrate weddings, and we were just talking, like, I just had my hen party, and I don't want to ruin the ending, but Lily, can I say you're also getting married in September, and you had your hen party in January, so we were just chit-chatting about that, and there's so much, like, chat and excitement about all these things in life, but then we don't really talk about divorce because that's a transition in and of itself, right? And it's a huge transition, and yeah, not everyone goes through it, but not everyone gets married either, so
Yeah,
you know, or not
exactly.
everyone becomes a mom, so it's one of those transitions that some of us just go through, and it must have been, I can only imagine, because it's funny, like, I've spoken about this a little bit, even getting engaged for me was very rattling, and I felt quite lonely, and it wasn't all rosy, you know, so I can totally understand how getting divorced, I imagine, was a good thing for you, right? But very, very lonely and confusing, and all the feelings and everything. And yeah, so I'm glad that you had a couple of friends who had been through it.
It's a huge transition. Yes. And also, you know, it's a thing that you don't think that you would ever do
Yeah,
specifically.
you just assume you're going to be married, right?
Exactly. It's not part of the fairy tale that you've been told as a little girl, or it's interesting to write your own story.
Oh, wow. So can I ask, when you were talking about the rage and the feelings that were coming up, is that to do with the divorce and or maybe in the relationship before stuff that happened? You're kind of revisiting that, is it? Is that what's happening for you?
On one hand, yes, but very early on after the separation, I understood that this is way deeper than the divorce itself. And the divorce is the tip of the iceberg, basically. So it's more about the childhood stuff. It was unfortunately much deeper. So I'm still, it's still unfolding to some extent, for sure. But I think the way I was conditioned, I guess I started to be more aware of that and how it was not right, and that I should stay silent or whatever. I shouldn't raise my voice, you know, in a literal sense and also in figuratively. So I think it was a lot about that. But yeah, childhood trauma, I would say. Yeah,
Okay,
sure.
thank you for sharing that. So when you, for someone listening who's kind of in the thick of it, you know, like in the PMDD, when you say that you revisit it every month, like, what does that look like? Are you journaling? Are you, when does the rage come up and knock on your door, like in your system, or do you invite it in, or what does it look like for you when you process your emotions?
Oh, I love that wording, inviting it in. Yeah, I do that now because it's more conscious right now what I'm doing than it was. I was journaling too. Yeah, I also let myself cry a lot in the beginning. Like, it was insane how much I cried. Like, even looking back, it's just like, oh my God, that had to come out, really. Because after a while it stopped. So you release everything. And that's also, I think, really beautiful. When it was the worst, like really, when I was really, really going through the grief and all that with the PMDD, there were times when I felt like, oh, this is so painful that it's actually really beautiful that I get to experience this.
Oh my God, Lily.
It was, I don't know, fascinating to even think back that this is an experience that you get to go through. And it's unique and not everyone goes through this. So it's something to be cherished, even though it's so morbid in a way, or like really dark.
I guess you're really allowing your heart to break for yourself. That is beautiful. I can see how you would say that, and I can see how you feel that. And what's so nice about that is that when you see the beauty in that, it makes it less scary to go there.
After a while, it's a familiar place also. Yeah. And then everything changes and it slowly, slowly fades away. And what was also really, really hard that when it faded away completely, or like there were no tears left to cry, you know, then there's a void. So there's nothing.
Like, who am I now without
Who am
this?
I now without the pain? Yeah, it was also so interesting to experience that. And I think equally painful because I thought, okay, I have no identity right now. I'm not married anymore. I went through this grief period. I have to rebuild my life. And I think it was really beautiful to start over again, I guess. I really, really feel like I lived one life and then I'm in the next one. Yeah, I really do feel that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like a whole metamorphosis. Love that. Wow, Lily. That's incredible. I think what I love so much about your story is that there's so much it's just so much vulnerability and courage at the same time, you know? And I think for people listening, like what I see in the work, and I know you see it now too, is that PMDD, a lot of PMDD is rooted in this stuff that you're talking about. Like doesn't like no matter the context, it can be very emotional. And I love that you talked about the clear, like releasing. It's like I see it as we're cleaning our pipes, you know, we're cleaning our the pipes are kind of there for a long time and we're cleaning out the pipes to release the tension and let the life force energy and the love kind of come back, and there's space for that, you know, and this free flow. But what I particularly love about your story is that you're really telling us that, you know, it's safe to go there. Like you are safe. Like it's not comfortable and it can be scary. And yeah, we need support and help and in some cases professional support. But ultimately, when you like you're very skilled now at emotional processing, you know, I have no I really trust you with yourself. I don't worry about you know. And that's such a great thing. To be able to learn that skill for yourself and for women who are listening who are in the thick of it, it's like that's possible for you. You know, there is everyone can, these are skills to learn, you know. And Lily has just shown us that, like, yeah, it's dark and scary, but when we go there, I said, we don't die. Do you know what I mean? Well, part of us does,
Yeah,
like
kind
your
of, yeah.
metamorphosis, you're reborn, and birth is painful, right? So. But I just love that you have this safety now. Like, so if there's difficult times in your life now, you have that muscle to go in there and be like, I got this.
I think that's also something that I would love to guide people through. So,
Yeah, so tell us then about your experience on in the academy then, and because this was kind of happening before and then a bit during, and I'm wondering how the academy fits into all this and what the group that you were with and, you know, the work you did.
So I was planning to apply, I think, 2 years prior than I actually did, but my life was, chaotic, let's say the least. So it wasn't the right time, but I knew that I'm gonna do it. And last June was the right time to do it, and I was really excited, and it was a much better experience than I anticipated, even though I had very high standards. So like I had,
I love that
I had really big expectations, obviously.
I did sell
And I especially love the group. I think we had a really, really good group. Probably you have a really good group every year.
I do, but every group has something special, you know. So it's a very unique group. It was a lovely group, very, very kind and loving, warm group this year.
Very loving. I think the it was really, really special to experience this energy that the group gave me, and that we gave it to each other every time we spoke. And the vulnerability that everyone showed was just really beautiful, I think. We had some very special moments where like I get emotional very easily, but I cried a lot. So I think it was really, for me, that's the top thing that I would say, like the energy of the group. And I'm really not a group person, so I think that's high praise, really,
Oh,
because
thank you,
it
Lily.
was really nice.
Yeah.
And how you facilitate the group is also wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot because it's a very important group for me. So, and I'm the same. Like, I have high standards too with these things. And I think we have to, it's we're dealing with some really sensitive stuff, and women have been really hurt and harmed and let down and neglected in different places, So, we got to have those standards. And yeah, the group, I can relate to when you said I'm not a group person. I can really relate personally, I can relate to that. But yeah, facilitating is something I love to do. And so I'm really glad that you were so open and you were loving with the group. And yeah, you were a great fit in that group. So it's so good to hear you really connect in that space, especially with everything that was going on for you. And because it is like a lot of people come in and they're like, I'm not great with groups or groups of women, and they struggle with that because they've had bad experiences, So yeah, it's good to
And
hear.
also the process groups that we do, it's like smaller groups. That was even better probably because I was so like a family, little family
Little
together.
family, yeah, and everyone had your back. And that's so for people listening who are not so familiar, the way we do the Menstrual Coach Academy, it's a 6-month program for people who are looking to train in menstrual cycle awareness coaching for yourself, or if you're a professional and you want to come in and learn this and get trained. And some people do it kind of for both. They're doing it for themselves personally or for their professional practice. And so on Saturdays, we have, well, one Saturday a month, we have a lecture day. And then what Lily is talking about is the big group gets broken into process groups of about 6 to 8 people. And what I love about that, Lily, is I don't really say this at the start, but from a group dynamics perspective, some people are more comfortable in a big group and some people are more comfortable in a small group. And then some people hide in big groups and some people hide in small groups. So it's
I can
kind of an
totally see
opportunity to push on a few buttons.
that.
But you did so well, in the program. So tell us then about, did the program give you more insight and clarity? Like because everyone is going through a different process. So we're obviously learning a lot, but then everyone's process is very personal to them, whether that's professional or personal. Did it give you more insight or understanding or even deepen your healing with your PMDD journey?
Definitely. In our group, there were many other women with PMDD, and it was amazing for me to connect with them and to just listen to them that they are going through the same experience. And that was really the first time for me to in real time connect with people with PMDD. And yeah, that gave me a lot of clarity and understanding of, yeah. I mean, validation, I guess, too, which is a big thing. And
And had you connected with other women before who had PMDD in different groups or in support groups?
no, on in Facebook groups, actually.
Okay, so not as
But
personal.
no. That gave me a lot too. So I would recommend to do that to people because there's a lot of information and a lot of validation can come from that. But it was different. These times. This was more intimate for sure.
More intimate. And everyone's going through a different, like a different, their story of PMDD is different, isn't it? So And when you mentioned earlier about like when the symptoms start to kind of melt away a little bit, and then you were talking about the new identity. So that's something we cover in the program in the pain science module. It's very common, and I'm sure people who are listening can relate, and I can relate. Like when my pain started to get less, I was like, this is, I felt weird. It was
What
like,
do I do?
it was like stepping on a trampoline and expecting the trampoline to be steady, but you're kind of wobbling, So, or step like stepping onto ice and you're kind of like, I don't have my balance, because if you have a lot of years of PMDD under your belt or chronic pain or any kind of suffering, that norm becomes like the expectation, doesn't it? And then when that's taken away, it's like, well, who am I? How do I relate to myself now? So I'm curious, Lily, like, where are you with that now?
Still navigating it, I'd say, because it does changes a lot for me from cycle to cycle, like mostly depending on the stress, how bad it is. And sometimes it's not bad at all, but those months are also challenging because the pain doesn't arrive, and then there's a fear that the next month is gonna be worse or whatever I get back.
Yeah, you're like
And
fear, like I totally relate. It's like, oh, this can't be forever. Next month is going to be
it's
shitty.
too good to be
Yeah, it's
true.
too good to be
So,
true. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. I think it's just, yeah, I have to try to be kinder to myself. And I remember I talked about it in the program that now I don't sentence myself to, for, I don't know, to pain. I don't know exactly how to word it, but when I have one bad day, then it doesn't mean that the whole month or the rest of the cycle is gonna go just like really badly.
Beautiful. Wow, that's so powerful, Lily. Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Yeah.
So it's just like it will pass. Maybe it's just one day, or like, okay, just accepting that that day is not gonna be good, or it doesn't seem to get any better, then just kind of let it go and let it be. But that doesn't mean that the next one needs to be bad too.
Yeah, and that was the old kind of pattern, was
Yeah.
the narrative in our heads, right? And so I think we all relate to that. I certainly have to really watch for that in my head, you know, even though I know that mindfulness practice that you're doing, it can be like in an instant, it's like I've written off the whole week because of one bad moment.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
again, really skilled woman, you know, you're like your experience is happening, but you're in charge of your narrative.
Yes, yeah. And I also keep learning new ways to support myself when it's bad.
Nice.
So it's interesting that almost every cycle there's something new that I never done before.
Oh, cool. Like what?
And it's for example, now I was really very much a yoga person. I'm also a yoga teacher, so I'm deep into this, and I'm also not a group person, so I never participated in like group sports or you know whatever like that. And now I joined the group training that I do, and it's especially helping me in the luteal phase. So like I had this narrative that the luteal should be just like a resting phase. Not much should happen, like less socializing, less work, less meetings. The movements I do should be more gentle, stuff like that. And then it's really interesting that actually the opposite is true for me. More meetings, more work, and more strenuous movement.
Wow.
And that's very uplifting. So it's super, super
That's
interesting.
amazing. So you
Yeah.
were really like challenging yourself to kind of like look at the stories we tell ourselves and then try something. So what's the training you do? Is it weightlifting or is it like running
The
or?
training, there's some weightlifting in it. It's a circuit training. So
Oh,
it's like
nice.
HIIT in a way.
Yeah.
So like 45 minutes of seconds of some very intense movements and then some rest and then the next station you go. So
And it's in a group.
it's in a group. It's in a
Nice.
group. And
That's
it's I
cool.
also love the group, like very different people from me and like very different ages and
Yeah.
stages in life. And I think that's just really fun. So
That's lovely. Like a lot of
yeah.
diversity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
so good. And that's actually really interesting because when I think about rage and anger, as you mentioned that earlier, from a nervous system point of view, I'm getting all geeky now, is the that's a mobilizing emotion. That's the sympathetic. So that clearly your system is like wanting that power, you know, and that like the strenuous stuff and yeah, maybe more work and kind of getting things done. So there's a lot of like momentum and healthy aggression, as Peter Levine says, and you know, that movement, because when we don't honor that, or when we learn from, I don't know, the industry that we need to be calm and zen all the time, that energy gets kind of like stifled and stuffed, and then it's the It when we stifle and stuff that energy, that creates stress, doesn't it? It's like we have to have a steel cylinder around to keep it locked in. But when we can move it, it's like we have free, there's a freedom and there's a letting go then. You're
Mm-hmm.
not, all the energy doesn't have to go into containing ourselves, which probably speaks
Absolutely.
to your inner child work that you were talking about earlier.
It's the same thing. And one other thing that it really helped me, and I also talked about this with you previously, is screaming it out. So I think I would love to do this my thing, or like love to be this to be my thing when I'm coaching people, that maybe in person coaching they should scream. That would be amazing to really encourage them to do that. I do that in the car when I'm driving alone, so that's convenient way to let it out. I know no one's listening, but
Please drive safely, everybody.
please don't try this when you're driving. Maybe.
Maybe get used to it
Maybe.
first.
Drive out
Pull over.
somewhere and then do it with the
Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, it helped me a lot. It's really good to let the energy out. And it's interesting that first there's a lot of rage in it. And then after a few cycles, if you keep doing it, there's no rage. It's just like pure enjoyment of doing it.
Like you said, you're clearing out the pipes and you're
Yeah,
clearing the system.
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's such a great message, Lillian, and the message as well about, like, don't be afraid to go strenuous and hard with your exercise and with your work, and trust your body as much as, like, the world is telling you to be zen and calm and don't do too much. Maybe we do get rest from releasing and from being in that mobilizing energy. The healthy, like, fight or flight response actually is very powerful when we have control of that.
I think so, and especially connected to PMDD, I have this belief that PMDD is or stems from could stem from suppressed anger and
Oh,
rage.
100%. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. So this is the recurring theme for me each month, that there are things that I haven't said, or I couldn't say maybe like the 20 years ago. So like we can go really, really way back. And I have to say it. So there's this urge that I have to let it out. I have to say it. I have to confront people. I cannot keep it in. I think the more I let out, the less the PMDD is. So
Wow, it's incredible. It's
it's
incredible.
amazing. Yeah. It had to manifest somehow.
Yes, no, I totally see, like, and from that, again, that nervous system perspective, we're just keeping it all in is such a stress. And the thing about anger is, and rage, it's a very powerful emotion, but it's also gendered. And then there's a cultural piece there too. In some countries, anger is, like, seen as a threat, or we risk relationships if we express our anger, or we're taught to express our anger in ways that are sideways, like passive aggression, or it comes out different ways, and that's, or it can be a manipulation or something, and that's just all taught to us, and we're not encouraged to be angry. So it's a whole journey, isn't it? Learning how to have, like, healthy anger and expressing it privately or expressing it to somebody and not at somebody. It's just, yeah, the whole, it's a whole, that's a whole other topic almost. We could do a
Yeah,
whole
I
other
agree.
podcast on that.
It's fascinating. And it's almost like this good girl
The
conditioning.
good girl
Yeah.
condition. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's funny. I had an experience recently that I was quite angry about, and it was like I didn't know how to kind of communicate it because the relationship was important to me. And I was like, how do I, get what I'm needing, without, like, raging at this person and them running away from me?
Yeah.
And it took me ages. And I essentially, what I did was I just got to the root of what am I needing, and then position it as, these are the things I'm needing. Can you, it was a professional relationship, so, like, can you help me with this, and this, and here's where I'm disappointed. But my instinct was to be like, like, which is not helpful either.
Yeah.
But I'd like to do that in my journal or with my partner or with my friend or someone else, and then I can kind of clean that up and then bring the constructive part to the person. But yeah, anyway, sorry, that's a side tangent, but it's
No,
just
I agree. I
very,
agree. This is how you do it.
it's, and it's hard,
Yeah, it's really hard to not say it at the time when you're feeling it. I think that's also a journey of, okay, I need to wait a few days and get more clarity how I want to express things and then say it in a constructive way, as you say. So,
And if
yeah.
we're not comfortable with our own anger, it's very the reason why we can snap is because we're just trying to get away from the feeling of anger, you know? So
Yeah.
yeah, we're on a journey with that, Lily. You're not alone with
I
that
mean,
one.
this is cycle awareness, I guess, at
Absolutely.
play.
It
Yep.
is. It's very skilled cycle awareness, and it's beautiful, like you said. And you're working alchemy with emotions and your nervous system and your cycle. So it's just so wonderful to hear your healing journey. Thank you so much for sharing. A couple of last questions for anyone who's thinking about joining the academy, what would you say to them?
If you're not a group person, then you can still very much enjoy it. I think that's something. And yeah, just do it. If you feel like intuitively you have to know that you want to do this, and then it's the right thing to do. And so I have this motto for life: if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. And I think that's true for that. So I actually known for years that I want to do it, and I'm really happy that eventually I get to the point where I could join. And also that it gave me a lot of confidence to do this work, because even before I was the go-to person for other people for like cycle awareness advice or whatever. And now I'm just way more confident that, okay, this is what I will do. And it's not about necessarily the information, although the information part and the educational part is amazing in the program. It's about building confidence through the practice coaching and how we watch each other, coach each other. That was also like so valuable for me to experience.
That's amazing. Thank you. And tell us a bit about then what you're doing now. So you've started coaching.
I
So
started coaching right away, so
amazing. Yes.
yeah, it's really good. It's better than I anticipated.
Wow.
I have two clients now, which is wonderful, and then we had four sessions with each of them, and it's so wonderful to see that in just four sessions, what a shift can occur. Huge. It's
Amazing.
huge. So they get emotional about their own journey, how about the connection that they are rebuilding with themselves. And it's really beautiful to watch. And just this morning, I had a session with one of them before we started to talk, and
Oh, wow, great.
it was so uplifting for me too. Like, I really, really enjoy doing it. And you know what I'm learning is that sometimes I don't need to ask more questions, and I don't need to give more advice. I just have to let them talk, because they know their answers to their own problems. And it's just watching in real time how well they develop, or like, you know, grow from their own problems or challenges. It's just amazing. Like, really, there's nothing more I could say about this. It's just fascinating. Yeah.
Incredible. Well, I imagine, like, I love that, a part of the program is personal process work, and you really dove in there with that stuff, and you came to the program with a lot of process work already done, so I think the fact that you're able to help your clients very quickly speaks to the container that you hold, and the safety you've built for yourself. Like they feel, they might not fully understand it, but they feel that in your presence, that
Oh, I
you,
hope so.
yeah, I
Yeah.
think that's the powerful, because it's like there's a difference between coaching where someone is just like giving advice and telling people what to do, and that's like really great, but you can actually get a lot of transformation in a very short space of time when you take the kind of more the sort of deeper approach that you're taking, where you're not chasing a result or you're sitting in your own transformation, and you're trusting them with theirs as well.
I do. I really do. Thank you for saying that. I really hope that that's true. And what I also see is also with the business coaching clients and now with these two, that you attract similar clients to your. So it's just wonderful that I really can have from my own experience because I went through the same things. These clients don't have PMDD, but but you know they have different challenges that that I'm familiar with too, and some interestingly, maybe similar traumas or similar upbringing or whatever that I can connect to. So it's always really interesting for me to see like how connected we are.
Who comes your way? Totally. Oh
Yeah,
my God, I
exactly.
totally
Yeah,
get that.
it's not just random. Yeah.
No, not at all. Oh, Lily, I could talk to you for hours. We'll have to wrap it up, unfortunately. But anyway, so you've got your wedding coming up, you're moving house, you're starting your practice. So there's lots of great things happening. Where can people find you, Lily?
On my website, which we will link below, and also I'm starting a YouTube channel very soon. So hopefully, when this comes out, I will have a few videos up, mostly related to PMDD.
PMDD, wonderful, Lily. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me and yeah, catching up, since the course and sharing your story. It's so inspiring for people who are listening, who are going through the darkness with PMDD. You're not alone. We are here with you. Reach out, get help. And if anyone is interested in joining the Menstrual Coach Academy, we are currently doors open. We start in July 2026, so you can hit the link in the show notes for details about that, or send me a message if you want to have a quick chat. And that's it. Anything else, Lily? No?
Thank you for having me, and it was
Oh,
lovely to
you're so
talk to you
welcome. So good to
again.
see you. Thanks,
Yeah.
everyone, for listening. Have a great day. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.